Call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And roll call, please.
Klimko?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Noon?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Conway?
Here.
First up, we have a non-agendized item here, which is a proclamation in recognition of Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden, and I'll take just a moment to read that. Whereas the Borough of Washington governing body would like to recognize the first place award in the National Garden Club President's Project, A Garden, Making a World of Difference, and whereas this quarter-acre schoolyard wildlife habitat garden won the 2015 First Place Award in the National Garden Club President's Project, A Garden, Making a World of Difference, Choices Matter, in the Resources Wildlife category. And whereas, in addition, the Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden, junior gardeners of Memorial School from grades 3 through 6 have been recognized by the Garden Club of New Jersey as the 2015 Top Junior Garden Club of the Year. Now therefore be proclaimed by Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington and the governing body of the Borough of Washington in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that we express our sincere congratulations to the Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden and to the Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden junior gardeners of Memorial School for achieving this high honor. Be it further proclaimed that this proclamation be duly embossed, signed by the mayor, and presented to the Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden junior gardeners of Memorial School and recorded in the official records of the Borough of Washington as a tribute by an appreciative and thankful governing body. Presented this first day of September 2015. Next up, we have the minutes of the regular meeting of August 5th.
So moved.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on any of the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Correspondence?
Motion to receive and file.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Would you like to do anything with any of these?
Do we have to address the street closure request?
Yes. We would have to authorize that. So if someone would like to make the motion to...
I'll make the motion to close.
Close Hill Street?
Hill Street.
School Street.
School Street.
To Hill Street.
Right, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 26th of September.
I second that.
Is there any discussion on that? John, do you look like you have something you want to say to that?
No, it was School Street. I got worried there.
Okay. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? We also have a letter of request for support to the Warren County Transportation Plan update. Would we like to support that? I think we should.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we need to do anything with the last one, Warren Hills Community Day?
Information purposes.
Okay.
And that thing will be holding a run.
We don't need to close any streets or anything like that for them, as I understand it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little different last year. They had a parade.
Yeah. All right. At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests. Well, we have somebody coming up. Oh, no, she's not.
Okay.
You're going to get agenda. Sir, please. Your name and address for the record, please.
Harold Warren, 107 Newman's Avenue. And I was going to just ask for questions about the memo that I wrote to you, but I think most of you got it tonight.
Correct.
So I'll read it. That way they'll know what I'm talking about, too. It's brief. I'm here seeking clarification of code enforcement procedures. Last year, I reported violations of Local Code Chapter 91, weeds and obnoxious growth, as well as Local Code 55, 12, and 13, litter on private property, to the borough manager, who in turn alerted the code enforcement officer. Unfortunately, the code enforcement officer apparently decides if and when to enforce code violations, despite clear evidence of the violations. There was partial resolution of some of the issues, while others were completely ignored. I had difficulty understanding why all of the problems were not resolved in an expeditious manner. I would rather not rehash the problems I encountered trying to resolve what I perceived as simple problems. However, since the same violations exist now on the same properties owned by Rossi, the Jewish Center of Northwest Jersey, and the Railroad Avenue Apartments, I wanted to make the council aware of what I perceive as a serious problem in code enforcement resulting in our town looking like it's dying with weeds and garbage scattered throughout. Last year, I resorted to the county health department to have the garbage and weeds removed from the Jewish Center. The health department became involved because the garbage was attracting rodents, thereby creating a health hazard. Had the local codes been enforced, involving the county would not have been necessary. I would think that when legitimate code violations are reported, the code enforcement officer would be obligated to enforce same. Humans Avenue East has become a depressed area resembling abandoned urban properties. 106 Humans Avenue was recently abandoned, leaving garbage behind and rotting dresser on the sidewalk. 104 was recently sold for $31,000, less than a third of the assessed value of $88,300. I would think that you would become inundated with tax appeals, since the few properties that are selling well below their assessed values. My question to the council is, how do we get these issues resolved? I have photos, if you'd like to see them, of the violations, and thank you for your time.
In general, all the incidents like that would either be reported to the code enforcement officer or the manager or somebody here, who eventually it would get to the code enforcement officer.
I tried that last year.
Yeah.
I have the same issues this year.
As to exactly what has happened to it since, the council's not involved in the day-to-day operations. So, Chris,
hello.
I guess that would fall to you as to what may have happened with
well,
any of that.
Last year, I do believe we made some progress.
You made some, right.
We did. When you brought me this letter, or when you reached out to me, I knew I was in and out for a couple of days. It was the first time we had discussed it this year.
Right.
Okay, so this is the first time I'm hearing about any issues, and I'm certainly prepared to bring it to the code enforcement officer.
But how do you get him to enforce the codes? We went through this last year, and he completely ignored some of the issues.
I will have that conversation with the code enforcement officer.
It's a dangerous situation where the Jewish Center is, with the traffic. The weeds are higher than the kids that play there.
Right. As you know, I was at the site.
No, you were there. No,
right.
I'm not arguing with you.
No,
I don't
want to
rehash
that.
All the nonsense from last year.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The thing is, it's a serious issue again.
Was
and instead of rats
to,
being deposited on my lawn, now it's just mice.
Was it brought to anyone's attention this year?
No.
No. Okay.
You knew it was coming.
Well, no, I did. I had seen your letter.
Right.
So I would ask that you let me deal with this with the code enforcement officer now that it has been brought to my attention.
That, I just want it done. You know, it is a, the county took care of it last year on the Jewish Center. I don't want to bother them again because it's our ordinances that are being ignored. And Rudy does show up because just happened to have pictures of the house across the street, which he manages to put tickets on a house that has no one living in it.
And it also may be that he's unable to find the people who own it, which we have quite a bit of that.
He had a U-Haul and he went down to South Carolina, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
it's empty.
Forwarding address. We've run into this in numerous cases. I can't say
but
this
the thing
one,
is,
but
that should not be sitting on the sidewalk in the borough. And there's no one responsible for it. Shouldn't
yes,
the borough pick it up?
Well, again, absolutely. If we had this conversation previously, we would have picked it up.
Good. That's progress.
Okay.
The Jewish Center is a huge issue, and let Rudy know that the Jewish Center owns that land, and they should be talked to, not Rossi.
Well, he knows it now, because he's in the back of the room, came in while he was speaking.
Okay, good. He didn't know it last year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you. That's Rudy.
Good evening, John Monteverdi, Executive Director of the BID. I dropped off three items with you folks. Two of them are with regard to the farmer's market. We've been trying very hard to get more foot traffic into the farmer's market. So this week, we're going to be advertising, bring your dog to the farmer's market, and you can get discount coupons at Misty's Grooming and Boutique, which is a new groomer in town on Main Street right next to Kid Care. We had the ribbon-cutting ceremony on Saturday. It's a great place. So we're going to be driving dogs to Misty's. As I was walking back from Misty's, I came up with the idea, Lost Ladies has got hot dogs. So anybody with a dog or anybody without a dog can go to Lost Ladies and get a hot dog, 10% off the regular price. As many as you can eat, all the buns are included. My purpose
here... Relish too? Mm-hmm. Relish and sauerkraut? And
yes, so 10% off the relish and sauerkraut too. My purpose here is to do whatever it takes to drive people into Main Street. And right now we want to use the Farmers Festival as an avenue to do that. The next thing we're going to try is bring your husband with an ugly shirt, and then you get a discount at Frantoni's. He's going to get 50% off on a short sleeve shirt. He's very excited by this. That'll be next weekend.
It's funny you say that. Many years ago, the Flemington Mall, the men's shop in there, did an ugly tie contest.
Right.
And for the similar things, you got,
right,
you want a suit, or I'm sorry, a shirt and tie for the ugly one.
That's been cleaned up quite a bit from its original concept.
Okay.
In addition to that, this other piece is the creative for the festival in the borough. I appreciate you guys blocking off School Street. We're going to have the acoustic tent next to Gaia's tucked away in the corner so nobody walks in front of it. As you recall, the acoustic tent was a source of problems last year, so we're working very hard to make that not happen again. All right, so that's where it's going to be. We'll have signs up and keep people from walking in front of it. The kickoff party for the festival in the borough is the Friday night before the festival. Everybody's welcome. The firemen will be selling beer. We will have it catered, and there'll be a band. We're going to have a crossing guard for the mid-block crossing, because it'll go till 10 o'clock, and I really don't want to lose any residents in the middle of the night to the, you know, the crossing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's those items. And we also have some news about the theater, which I've shared with some folks. It looks like we have a purchaser for the theater who's interested in renovating it and turning it into a venue for concerts, and there's the possibility they might be able to turn it, also do dinner theater, because my understanding is there's a kitchen there. They understand they would have to upgrade the kitchen. But they're a nonprofit cultural group out of Patterson, I believe. All of them are musicians. They have an amazing amount of depth in the entertainment industry. And I'm hoping that this really works out, because the alternative was all negative. This is all positive. So they're going to be coming to a council meeting, I believe, October 10th. October 6th, to plead their case with you guys. You're going to be at the board meeting, the bid board meeting on the 1st, doing the same thing. Okay, that's it.
Is that going to require anything from planning board or board of adjustment, do you think?
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah. My understanding is they're going to approach this the way the direction set is for eating an elephant, one bite at a time.
Absolutely.
The first bite is going to be the roof, because they understand they can't do anything inside unless they get the roof squared away. And then they'll attack the air conditioning and the heating systems, and there's some discussion about what the inside's going to look like. But they seem to have a very cogent plan. I'm excited by it. The bid's going to do whatever we can to do. And we'll be coming to you guys to talk about Railroad Avenue, which is like a three-lane road. We're thinking that this was Rossi's idea of taking one side of it, making it angled parking, so we can quadruple the amount of cars we can get on Railroad Avenue and leave the other side for a two-way road.
We'll have to be careful of that, because a lot of it is railroad property, too.
It's railroad property there, too.
Oh, it's railroad property?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of railroad property over there.
Okay, we could work on that.
Oh. Good luck.
Well, we could try to work on that.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can ask the question.
Exactly.
That's the first step in anything.
Maybe we could do it on the other side. Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. I'm Stan Prater. I'm your area representative from Jersey Central Power and Light, and I just wanted to stop in and talk to you a little bit about some of the things we've been doing in the area, and chatted with the mayor on a couple of things and Christine, but wanted to let the council members know. In August, what we did was we did some thermal imaging of our circuits, not all of the circuits, but some of the circuits that serve the Washington area, and what that is, we'll shoot a beam at our wires to see if they have any hot spots or glowing areas which could cause power outages. I'm proud to say we did complete that process, and I think we found maybe one or two spots, and they have been remediated. So that took place in August. Best time to do it is in the hot months so that you can see the image a lot better if it is something that's deteriorating in the wires. Also, earlier this year, we did tree trimming in Washington. As the municipality was notified, as well as local residents. And as you know, trees are a big issue in terms of causes for power outages. We do that on a four-year cycle, and so this year we did that earlier in the town of Washington and in Washington Township. We are also doing what we call a connection point between Washington Substation and Furnace Brook Substation, which we call a tie point. And what the benefit of that is, let's say the Washington Substation goes out for whatever reason, have a catastrophe, we'll be able to tie circuits from the Washington Substation to the Furnace Brook Substation until we can make permanent repairs. So you're going to see benefit from that if that happens, or vice versa, where Washington Township would see a benefit, as well as the town of Oxford and a little bit of Belvedere. So that project's underway now, and that should be done by the end of October. So that will give you what we call some more system resiliency and reliability if we do have a catastrophe to the Washington Substation, which is fed normally mostly by this town. Also, I sent the mayor an email about aerial inspections for our transmission lines. And our transmission lines, these are our higher voltage lines, our 34,500 volts up to 230,000 volts, up to as much as 5,000 volts. Well, we have airplanes or air inspections to inspect these transmission wires. I think the mayor put that on his Facebook page, or you put it out so that you let the residents know.
Too.
Especially in this day and age where you see planes overhead, you don't know, you know, with all kinds of homeland security issues. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that notification was out, and that was between August 17th and August 19th. Also, want to encourage you, if you can, I know Morristown is a long trek for you, is where we have our distribution control center. We want to invite the council members down for a tour. I send out invitations on a monthly basis, but we really would like for you to come down and give you a little bit better education as to what we do in terms of when there is an outage, how do we respond, give you a visual of our control center, And I think it's been very informative and educational. So we have one coming up. I'll be sending you an invitation for September, and we'd love to have you come down and be our guest.
You remember the date?
I believe it's September the 17th. It is a Thursday. I can tell you in a minute.
Yeah, the 17th is a Thursday.
There's a Thursday, yeah. Yeah, that is the date. So if you could earmark that. Again, you'll be getting invitations from me personally. And just here to answer any questions that you guys may have.
Well, thank you. And I know that you always do inform us of everything. We get a lot of emails, so I appreciate that. That's helpful for us.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, thank you for having me. Again, I just wanted to stop in. My office is right down the street. I am a board member currently of the Washington bid, so I've teamed with John and Scott and Christine and a lot of you in this room. So we're looking to bring anything we can do to bring more foot traffic to the town and show the town off that...
You put your office in our downtown.
We could do a satellite. I was even thinking about, you know, and I'll bring this up to John, maybe we could do something with one of the trucks or something to draw, you know, kids like to see the Jersey Central trucks with the, you know, the boomed up in the air and that kind of thing. So, you know, something
it's
appropriate.
Second only to the fire truck.
Yeah, second only to the fire truck, yeah. But, so, yeah, there's some things we can work on. But anyway,
good.
Thank you for having me.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thursday. I'm telling you that now. North Lincoln is being paved Thursday. Now. I figured I'd just head you off at the pants. I knew that was going to be
no,
one of the questions.
That, but we had another issue, Reverend Bachnay.
Okay.
Mount Pisgah, North Lincoln Avenue. Yes, we are happy. We saw the signs that went up. It's 3 days, no parking. What are the instructions for us? It said no parking 3 days. So where are we to park? It's a holiday weekend.
Well, it would. What are the dates on the sign?
3 days.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
No, Thursday, Friday, Thursday through Saturday. It said 3 days, and it's Thursday through Saturday.
It should be Thursday and Friday only.
Thursday and Friday.
Right. That's when the work will take place.
So Thursday milling and Friday paving.
That's correct.
Instructions for where they park. Can they park? They can't park in the school parking lot. And so where?
As coming homes are without driveways. That there's.
If you're doing, you're doing all of North Lincoln from the library up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Fucking 12 homes.
Sure, they could park on any side street.
No, we're not going to have them.
What, they're not going to have access.
Do you have something you want to add, Rudy?
Come again?
Something you want to add?
I just talked to a couple of residents, okay, and told them, during that construction time period, as we have a major snowstorm, park anywhere you can, including the front lawn, during that time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Get them off the road.
I didn't know that you had done that.
Okay. All right, that was our question.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else from the audience? Hey, folks.
Hi.
Dave DeSanto, 66 Cemetery Hill Road, Washington. Just wanted to follow up, being busy. I don't think I caught last time, and I was listening to the minutes. Has the technical review committee met with the cemetery
yes.
In the last 2 weeks? You did?
Yes.
Okay. When was that?
I don't have the date off the top of my head. I want to say it was the 19th, but I may be mistaken there.
Okay. And I understand that's a closed meeting and nobody keeps notes on that. What's I haven't had a chance to look this up. What's the statute? I have the statute that the council has executive sessions. I totally understand that. I understand the benefits to the applicant operating with the technical review committee. I just want to look further into the statute and understand how that works, that the technical review committee meets under. Do you guys know what the statute is?
Off the top of my head, again, no, I don't.
Okay. Could I get that, Chris?
Yes, I can look that up for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just, you know what it's like to try to look through those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, just in short, as a very high flyover, I understand how that benefits the applicant. I'm having a hard time understanding how it benefits the community. So I don't expect an answer there, but that's just food for thought. If you have an answer, that'd be great, because maybe you understand how that benefits the community better than I do. You know,
the biggest thing is it's an opportunity to work out definitions, if you will, before an actual application is made. You know, what does the sign ordinance mean? What does this zoning, you know, mean? Those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the purpose of it. It's just to shorten the process. It probably benefits the applicant more than anybody, but I mean, it does benefit the residents, because if there's a, well, there's always going to be an open public portion for whatever application may be. You know, it helps work everything out and shorten the time of, you know, maybe we can get information out there ahead of time so that the questions during the open public portion of it are minimized.
Right,
so if we're trying to get information out faster.
Right. So how does the public get a hold of and know what questions they might want to ask if we don't keep minutes on that?
Well,
I think that's what you said, so
well,
we'd be able to ask intelligent questions.
It's the technical review committee is not going to put that out there, but it, you know, when the application comes, I'm sure you're aware of, you know, the process. There's the, you know, the initial site plan review, preliminary approval, and then the public hearing and possibly final approval. And what we try to do, or trying to do, is that when the initial application comes, to anticipate what kind of questions might come up and answer them before they're asked. Or maybe that could lead to even more questions, depending on how well we do that. That's the thought process behind that.
All right. Was there a future meeting scheduled?
Of the technical review committee?
No. With the cemetery.
There's nothing else. The way it was left, the brief description of what happened there, it was a lot of what I kind of described. You know, how would we do this? What would happen? What are the codes? It was left that the cemetery felt that they got a lot of good information, and they are going to have to crunch numbers to see if it's even economically feasible for them to even try any type of expansion of the cemetery.
Okay.
We did discuss a lot of the concerns that you and some of the others have brought up, you know, and I did do the Google search that you asked me to do also.
Okay, great.
So I saw what you were talking about there.
Okay. I think that's it. Christine, give you a call to get that
information. Do you have an email that
you
want to give me?
Yeah, I'll shoot you an email.
Okay, that'd be great.
Then you can respond. Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Peter Quelly. I live on 4 Cleveland Street. I am putting out a question if any discussion was made as to adding a no parking sign in front of 6 Cleveland, because there's only one. Let me clarify it. It's no parking either side of Cleveland Street. From East Stewart, I believe technically all the way to the other end. There's one no parking this side of the street in front of my house, and none all the way up to the other end of the block. So that first sign is maybe 50, 75 feet in, and there's another 200 feet beyond that where people all of a sudden decided to park. Sometimes they park in the grass. There can be four cars or so, and it turns Cleveland Street into basically a half-lane road, because you have to drive into the parking lot from the Cornish Mansion to go around the cars that are illegally parked. So it was like 2 months ago or so, I came and approached that question, and I didn't see anything get done with it yet, so I'm just curious as to if anything was...
We have additional signage.
Yeah, just one more sign, like in front of six, which would make it split in three.
I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't recall. I don't know, maybe I wasn't here at that meeting.
Yeah, you might not have been.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'll definitely have them take a look at it.
Or is that one of the signs that hasn't come in yet?
No.
That was ordered?
No, this is, no, we didn't change anything on Cleveland Street.
No, it's in that ordinance that way for years and years and years. Never, nothing's ever changed on there. It's always been no parking either side.
Okay.
And one other thing, this might be a sore subject to some of you that have chimneys or open fire pits. I understand that there is no ordinance in Washington for those.
Any fire has to have a screen covering it, I believe.
Well, this is a whole nother kettle of fish.
Okay.
What I'm looking at is basically an area or property size or something that would designate they're able to or not, because at what would be the right end of my house, looking at it, there is a, to the right of my driveway, there's a three apartment owned, I can't remember the number of it. It's on...
I know where you're talking
West Stewart.
About, yeah.
Right.
East Stewart.
East Stewart, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm turning around the other direction. There's about 10 feet in between the two houses, and there's a corner that's opened up a little bit, and somebody put up one of those gazebo things like you buy at Lowe's and Home Depot.
Right.
And they build a fire. I mean, again, this is a rental property. Again, they build a fire in one of those fire rings, which I don't blame them. I was a Boy Scout. I like fire, too.
It's an actual fire ring?
Well,
or...
On the ground, you know, like a thing that you buy that you build a fire in.
Okay, it's not the fire pit that's a little elevated off the ground.
Well, yes, it is, technically, yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's just that much.
It's movable.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
But to that, on that train of thought, that is approximately, at the most, 8 or 10 feet from my house. And in the summertime, your windows are open. If you don't want to spend the money on air conditioning, the smoke and whatever comes right in my window, bedroom window, and my kid's bedroom window, and it fills the whole house up. I understand about the whole nuisance complaint thing. I can call the police. I can call the police like probably three nights a week, and they can come there and tell them to put it out. But unless something is done where they're not allowed to do that anymore, or you need some certain size property area to do it, I'm sure this happens a lot, because sometimes people burn whatever they can find, you know, it, you know, painted trim, you know, it, whatever is wood. If it burns, they'll burn it. Cardboard boxes, if somebody moves in. On the other direction, there was somebody that had, I don't know, must have been a 30-foot pile of cardboard boxes, and they're standing there tearing them up, throwing them in one at a time, and the flames were 10 feet in the air, stuff was blowing around, and it, like, stunk up everything. You know, it's just awful. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, but it's not pleasant. You know, it doesn't make a pleasant atmosphere anywhere because it just stinks. A fireplace in a house, that's a whole different ball of wax. I don't care. The chimney is above the roof.
Right.
You know, it doesn't blow inside somebody's windows because it's, like, right there.
Do you wear any clothes for that?
I don't believe we have any.
Other than a nuisance. Yeah, I mean, I've talked to the police and...
Rudy, are you aware of any fire codes that regulate anything like that?
Never on square footage, no, except it's got to be screened, okay? And you can't burn any dimensional lumber.
And that's in the fire codes?
Yes.
Okay.
So if somebody is burning trim or any dimensional wood, they're in violation of the New Jersey State Fire Code and subject to a penalty, a fine.
Okay.
So that doesn't address, I wonder if we're looking at that nuisance code anyway, that, that maybe that's something we
could... But at least we know now that there's something out there for it.
So I would strongly suggest you get a fire like that with the cardboard or dimensional lumber being burned.
Not doing
call 911 and report a fire.
I've been there, done that, and they've come, made them put it out.
When I go out.
Couple days later, it's waiting.
Well, guess what? They do it a second time, you call it again, and you know what? It's not gonna happen a third time. I can guarantee it. Because between the fire official and I, don't get the point.
Being a past fireman, and I know what it takes because I was a fireman for 30 years, that is a complete and utter nuisance call that you don't wanna risk somebody getting hurt. So I don't make calls like that unless there is a structure or there is a person or vehicle or whatever in danger. So the way that I would go about that is having someone's phone number that can go over and take care of the situation without putting anybody's lives in danger at all.
But I imagine these fires are mostly in the evenings.
Yeah. And they're gonna get more and more prevalent because now it's gonna start cooling off. More people are gonna wanna sit outside a little bit instead of in the air conditioning. If they have air conditioning. All right, just food for thought for, you know, because it's quite a nuisance for a lot of people in a lot of different areas, I'm sure, whether anybody says anything about it or not.
And there may be ordinances written that we can take a look at.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Quick question. You can't burn trash, can you?
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Can't burn brush either.
No.
Anyone else from the audience? I think we've got everybody today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll accept the motion to close the audience portion.
I'll make a motion.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Any abstentions? We have no reports this evening. Do we have any committee reports this evening?
I'll make a quick report on behalf of the Streets Committee and the Sewer Committee. As you know, we'll begin paving, which is fantastic news. We will pave North Lincoln, Fillmore, and Jefferson Streets beginning this Thursday and Friday. The DPW had to shift gears a little bit because this came in at the last second, so we had to be prepared. We did some tree trimming today. Ran the sweeper, took care of any manholes that needed to be taken care of. So that's what they're preparing for now. The other item I wanted to let you know about, and I'm sure you read it, that QuickCheck did complete their sewer connection today, so that's great news. We can now start billing them for their EDUs that they use, and there's a formula for that, which I can provide to you in my next report. I have to review the numbers with Dawson. We also need to have a street and sewer committee meeting. The proposed day is September 8th, which is Tuesday after Labor Day. I'd like to have the streets at 4:30 and sewer at 5 or 4 and 4:30.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Too early?
5 for streets.
5:30 for the others. Yeah, we'll do 5:30
for sewer then. Want to do 4:30 for sewer and
5
for street?
That's easier. Let's see what Dave says.
He said it was fine.
Okay. All right, then that's good with me.
Okay. And that's all I have, Mayor.
So if you don't have any old business, brings us to ordinances 6-2015 for public hearing and adoption.
Motion introduced on the final passage and have the clerk read by title and publication statement.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I should have done a roll call on there, shouldn't I?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Steve's involved.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I'll open the public hearing.
I have to read by title.
That's right.
Sorry, Scott. Ordinance 6-2015. An ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 85, Vehicles and Traffic of the Borough of Washington, County of Warren, State of New Jersey, in order to establish a new section prohibiting the practice known as engine braking and providing for penalties therefor.
Okay, at this point, I'll open up the public hearing on Ordinance 6-2015. Just like the audience portion, come up, state your name for the record. trucks?
Yes.
Yes.
I had... I had an occasion to pull out, my name is Susan Sloan, I had an occasion to pull out of a parking in downtown, and the truck was back there. He was barreling, and I didn't realize how fast he was barreling, and he tailgated me. He came right up, didn't slow down. I mean, this is a problem. I gave him the finger. That's what reminded me, because he chased me. He wasn't, this is really a severe, I'm glad I had a chance to prevent.
All right, yeah, this is for engine braking in particular, but...
Well, he engine braked, but I couldn't get his license because he was right, I mean, no, his headlights were right in my...
Yeah.
But that's part of the problem. The engine braking, what they do is they downshift, and it doesn't slow them down enough as if they use their brakes. The reason they engine brake is to save their brake pads, what they're trying to do with the air brake.
He was trying to run me down.
Yeah.
I mean, if the man was speeding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's any way we can halt this. Are you talking about at the theater where they
this is all down? Through town. This is an ordinance just to prevent them, because the engine braking is very loud.
I know. He was right on my...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then there would be signage that would let
That'll really. I mean, unless we have some police officers witnessing it, it's just going to go.
Right.
You know,
right.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they won't do it when the police are around.
And Hope does have a similar ordinance with signage as you come in, but it does obviously take the cooperation of the police department to enforce it. But they can't enforce it if we don't have this ordinance.
Oh, I get it.
So that's why we need to create this ordinance. So that it
I turned down Venata Street to get him off my tail.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Accept the motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And motion to adopt on final passage.
Make a motion to adopt.
Second.
Okay. You're all fighting for it over there.
I'm telling you.
Any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Heiner?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Klimka?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connor?
Yes.
Okay. That brings us to new business. Resolution 147-2015, assertion of an item of revenue for the Municipal Alliance.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on this one? Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Heiner?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Vouchers.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So we are going to pay the bills tonight. Yay. Roll call, please.
Yeah, I have a question on it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Page 12 at
the
bottom,
for the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
The
cell phone
that
is
just
that
they bought.
What,
are they replacing the old one, or
is it
putting up a new one?
Putting up a new one.
Replacing the old one?
Mm-hmm. So the old one
was
torn to pieces.
Was torn to pieces. So they had to loop holes and everything up?
Yes.
Inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
it's just coming out their tax.
Yeah, they have a trust account.
They have a trust account that's coming out their trust fund.
No, but on page 5 under public works,
some of it came out of buildings and grounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it was installation of netting.
Yeah.
And that amount there was also in addition to this amount for the materials, and then for the materials for the bolts to snap the clamps and the cables,
yeah.
And for the poles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't see the poles where they were before?
Risk management. It's a risk. This was a risk.
It is a risk. It's not public safety.
Exactly.
Public safety.
No, I understand why you're there. I get that.
the unfortunate answer to that question, Robin, is that the netting used to be connected to trees.
Right.
The trees were taken down.
Taken down.
Okay. So these are not replacing the poles, they're putting poles in.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right.
And the system makes it easier to put the netting up, too, doesn't
it?
Doesn't require the fire department to come down.
That's
or
correct.
Something.
Right. They can bring it up
some
and down.
Some kind of a bucket
right.
truck.
Okay. That's all I have.
I just have one question, 15. On page 1, the replacement of the damaged computer tower, you don't have no type of insurance claim?
It was under the threshold for the insurance. They wouldn't cover it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we had to replace it.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Connery? Yes. Noon?
Yeah.
McDonald?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
What do we give you to do this week?
Okay. I will look into any fire pit ordinances that may be out there for the nuisance ordinance. As you know, Janine, Gleba, and I are still working on the code book.
Yes.
That was in one of my reports. So I'm actually meeting with her tomorrow afternoon. I'll discuss with the code officer the issues brought up tonight by Mr. Morin. I'll provide the statute for the technical review committee, which operates under the municipal land use law. I'll take care of the extra no parking sign on Cleveland Street. And that's all I have so far, man.
That brings us to council remarks. We'll start with you, Mrs. Klimko, since you're over there all by yourself. Oh, I thought I'd give you the opportunity first.
I have a couple things. I saw in your manager's report you said some of the signage was being put off.
Yes.
Because of the work ethic. So we're still on, we're off just a hair then.
We're off just a hair, right.
The handicap removal today.
Yeah, we're off just a hair. We changed, we had to quick make a shift.
Okay. And then time clock issue?
Still working on it.
I mean, like,
I'm going to say by the end of the month. We're close. By the end of the month. I'm going to get through some paving and signs.
Also, in dealing with the senior advisory committee, some people have been on our webpage. Apparently, our webpage is very outdated. Is there anything to do to look into? So our webpage that it would have, like, our last Thursday of the month, that we have the senior advisory committee, anything else that's going on. So people, you know, people say they look at it, and there's nothing on there whatsoever.
Absolutely. When normally people make requests to me, then I send it to the appropriate people to put it on the website. So if there's something you want or if there's something that you see that's wrong, let me know.
Well, I think the people that just brought it up were saying more like it should be like current, like more calendar events. So when they go on the Borough webpage, everything's kind of like there, monthly things that, you know, happen continuously, and it kind of wasn't there.
Right.
So.
Okay. I'll make sure, I'll sign that for someone to take a look at the website. And you meet when?
The last Thursday.
Last Thursday?
Correct.
Yeah, it's always at 7 o'clock.
Right. 7 p.m.
In this room or downstairs?
No, downstairs. And then I wanted to bring something up to council regarding the winter approaching. I spoke on this a couple months ago regarding the fact of the problem that we had last year with people not moving their cars off the street when we had snow, so that's how we did that. So I had spoken to Christine. I wanted to find out about getting council's approval to make from possibly the end of October to the beginning of April no parking on the street. This way, you don't have to worry about people not removing their cars. 57 can get plowed curb to curb. All the streets can get plowed. The road department for Jewish business and plow it needs to plow. Because if you don't have the support where you're going to get cars off the road, then we end up with the same problem we had last winter.
I think that might even add more problems to it.
Exactly.
Because now people are going to ask, well, where do I park my cars from October
all the
to
time.
March or whatever.
We have a lot of people who don't have parking, and
well, no,
people have too many cars for their driveway.
That were exempt before, where they parked their cars when we had the ordinance that there was no on-street parking.
Which you're saying all streets?
I meant all streets, excluding the streets that had no parking lights, Yonge Avenue, they were one of the streets exempt from that.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, by the park.
That's near the park, I'm across the street from the park. Right, exactly, we're on the other side.
So I'm talking about still that the streets that were exempt in the ordinance before that could park on the street because they had no driveway.
I think that might create an unnecessary hardship for law-abiding citizens who do move their cars but who need to park on the street. I think we need to work on enforcing the ordinances that we have and make sure people understand.
We weren't successful in doing that last year, and look at the mess we had in town last year. We had a disaster, and then we had cars in town that were, had 3 and 4 tickets on them, they never got towed, they sat there. Washington Avenue, people couldn't shop in the stores because you had 4 foot of snow and ice to the curb side. Because people left their cars there, and then they moved them, and then it's not coming to do it again. Our road department can't do it again.
And we have a problem with enforcing our 2-hour parking, so I think, and weeds, and all kinds of things. So I think we need to work on figuring out how we're going to enforce our ordinances and things that we have in place versus just telling everybody they can't park in the street from October to April.
But then you also have the confusion in town where people think it's only when a snow emergency is called, not when, because the ordinance states that.
When the streets are snow covered.
Right, so then people aren't moving it, so I thought this just clarified the whole matter, and basically from the end of October to the beginning of April is when it is our snow season, our ice season, when they have to go out salt, plow, do whatever, streets are clear, they can do the job.
Personally, I think you're just trading one problem for another with your suggestion.
Well, then we'll see how it works this winter again, and then, you know, we have 16 people standing here saying, streets that get plowed, we're not 4 foot to our curb, you know, we can't access things.
As opposed to having a lot more coming in and saying, why can't I park in front of my house, you know, in November when there's no snow? We're going to have both, either way, I think it's just a trade of.
Yeah, but I agree, we need to work on enforcing the codes and the ordinances we have, and also, I think, communicating them to people better.
Yeah, but we can only do what we can do, we rely on the police department then to issue the tickets, right?
We do.
Or code enforcement has also issued some summons as well.
Right, yeah, you can't be on the road every time, every day, you know, or during the night.
But you can't catch everybody.
Not everybody. Okay, I thought I would just throw that out there and make it easy for everybody in town.
Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Mr. Heinrich?
I have nothing.
Ms. Nguyen?
I just wanted, I know that the DPW went around and did a lot of the weed whacking and cleaning up, and the bid did that as well, and I noticed as well that there's been progress with that, and I think that that is an issue in the town, that we just need to keep an eye on the way that the town appears. And again, that whole idea of trying to enforce our codes and ordinances, I know it's hard when we don't even know who owns the property, but unfortunately, it affects all of our property values and the way people perceive our town, so I think we just need to continue to make a concerted effort to work on getting those properties foreclosed on, moving forward, and really enforcing the codes that we have.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the wheels of government and justice move very slowly. Rudy, has something you wanted to comment on that?
Last 2 weeks ago, I identified that this foreclosed abandoned property was owned by the USDA. I got a hold of the service company. Okay, it took me a while to find them. Sent them a notice of violations. 3 of them for their property. A week later, I got no status. I called them back. USDA denied to do anything with the property. So I told them, give me the USDA's information address. Why? I said, I'll send them the summons. It took me a week before they realized that either I was going to send them the summons or USDA before they gave up the information on USDA. Will they come to court? Probably not. They're going to laugh at it. But this property is owned by USDA out of Dallas, Texas. Probably 60% of the abandoned homes in the borough, I don't know who the heck owns them, what mortgage company. Although the state statute came in last year, I'm getting very few. I'm finding more and more. And I just found 47 Yeomans on Monday, yesterday. I was unaware of that one. Mm-hmm. We have 111 homes on the list. That doesn't include commercial property.
Yeah. I met a foreclosure attorney who'd be willing to come here to give a presentation.
We have a foreclosure attorney who's foreclosing on
them. And they're no trying to chase them down, because I know that the game is that they sell the properties a lot, too, so it's very hard to track them. Just, I didn't know you guys had them.
Anything else, Ms. Newman?
No, and I know that we are working on it. Because I sit here and we talk about it, and I think it's just we need to keep that, because I see that is an issue for many of the citizens who are here who are working hard to maintain their properties, follow ordinances, follow rules. So we just need to be sure that we're enforcing it and publicizing that, and maybe also communicating with the citizens about the steps that we are taking, so people understand a little better maybe why some things aren't happening as quickly as they would wish or expect, because we do have constraints. Thank you.
Ms. Connery.
Quick thing. I wanted to find out, did you contact Gary Lawrence in regards to the...
I did. I have not heard back from him.
Okay. But because over there, there are mattresses, there are so much garbage over that way. And also on Park Avenue and Railroad Apartments own that property right on the corner. It's nothing but garbage. I mean, garbage on top of garbage. It has not been dealt with or anything. So, again, you can come around that corner, and you can't even hardly see coming around that corner because of the trees hanging down and the garbage that's hanging over that. So, again, I concur with our councilwoman here, a reference to our town being beautified, but it's a lot of properties being abandoned. I understand that, but it's also up to us to make sure that it's followed through in a lot of ways. And I know you have a job to do, which you have shortness of staff sometimes, but it's just getting out of hand. I mean, especially with the brushes and all of this, there are garbages being thrown into different places now. And it's rodent. You can see them walking across the street now, and that's just not good. It's just not good. I just don't know what it takes for. I guess it takes everyone to pitch in to help. Also, if you see someone dumping something, you need to tell somebody, because I know that those mattresses were dumped from off of Railroad Avenue. So there are mattresses over there. So if you can get, you know, to talk to Gary in regards to that, like I told you, he said that those cars and stuff that's on that street, he's willing to do what he needs to do, but those cars need to come off of that property, and the police need to give him a ticket before they flatten the tire. That's all I have.
Okay. The only thing I have is that I understand the old Agway building has been sold.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that, John?
Yes.
Okay. I understand it's a gentleman who does granite countertops and stone countertops. Mm-hmm. He'll be having, I guess, his workshop in the back, perhaps a retail store for his products in the front, and he'll try and put some other retail stores in there, too, since he doesn't need the entire building. And I think there's two apartments upstairs that they're going to renovate and take
there's
care of.
A lot of garbage behind that place.
Mm-hmm. Now that it's sold, it's going to be taken care of. And just, Chris, it's September 1st. It's time for our monthly chat with Mr. Dunn of Paramount Properties to ask him for a status report.
Yeah, isn't it? He's so responsive.
Yes. and that's all I have. I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?